Your name there if you'd like to. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, 1 through 11. And we'll be taking a few of these verses. Won't read all of them, but I know that you know the story about Jesus Christ being born into this world and the wise men coming. So Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 11, we'll probably read a few of those. But sometimes it's kind of a sad, as you look around and see what this country has really distorted Christ's birthday. Now it's hard to even find places to say Merry Christmas anymore as you go into the store. I see a controversy on that on television. A lot of stores won't say Merry Christmas anymore. Happy Holidays, but they don't like to say Merry Christmas. Nativity scenes has been completely wiped out on most places. You can't have a nativity scene. But all we made is a merchandise out of Christ's birthday. And kind of a sad in a way. What we've done to Christ's birthday, what he's done so much for us and so much for this world. I hear the story here in these verses of scriptures about the wise men and the wise men, the gifts that they brought to Jesus Christ. This time of year, I know a lot of you have difficulties finding the right gift for the right person. Well, have you ever thought about the right gift that you might bring to Jesus Christ? Here today, I'm satisfied if you really want to, you can bring the right gift to Jesus Christ. Have you presented to him this Christmas season, this day, the right gift? We will be learning the lessons from these wise men about the right gift to give Jesus Christ. As we read these verses of scripture, I'll read the first four verses probably because you know the story about the wise men. They come to worship Jesus Christ. They come by old Herod. And we know Herod asked them, where was they going? And they said they're seeking Jesus Christ to worship him. Let me know when you find him, because I would like to worship him also. What he really wanted to do was kill the baby Jesus. So we know that he had put out an order when the wise men did not come back by to kill all the boy babies from 2 years old and under to make sure that they would get the right one. But you know, God was far ahead of old Herod, and he moved Jesus Christ, Joseph and Mary, down into Egypt. And Jesus Christ was spared because God is authority and also God is sovereign. As we read these verses of scriptures, as I said, you know this story. We read it so much, but there's something that we need to understand. And this morning, if you're going to bring and you're going to present Jesus Christ the gift that he deserves, you'll have to take lessons from these three wise men. What they brought to Jesus Christ is exactly the same thing that you need to bring Jesus Christ, your own self. The gold, the frankincense, and also the myrrh. And we'll find out what that represents in just a moment. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the great king, behold, there was wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. You drop down there in verse 11. Verse 11. And when they were come, that's the wise men, into the house. See, it's been about 2 years now. He's not in a stable any longer. He's in a house. That's the reason the king Herod killed all the babies of 2 years old and under the house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to celebrate the greatest day this world has ever known. The day, Lord, that you left heaven, and Lord, the day that you come down to this world, your birthday, Father. We want to thank you for what you have done. Father, not only that, we know that you come to die and to die on the cross and to die for the sins of the world. Father, we just honor you this day. We praise you this day. We praise you this Christmas season. And Father, I pray that each person that's here this hour and all their family and all their little ones will seek out the perfect gift for you, Christ Jesus. And what will that gift be? And what will that gift that you would accept? The greatest gift. Father, we know it's not the gifts under the tree. It's the gift upon the tree that you was willing to die, not for just the sins of a few people, but the sins for the whole world. And Father, we know that you died for everybody that's in this building this hour. Oh, if they would just take that free pardon of sin, accept what you've done for them on Calvary's cross, that you paid for their sin. Father, if they would just acknowledge that they're just pure sinners, Lord, just the natural sinners that they are. But Lord, you have the power on heaven and earth to forgive all sins. And we know that you will because you said that you would. If there be a person here this day would present their self to you, Jesus Christ, that would be the perfect gift, Lord, that you would accept. Father, we honor you today. We thank you for what you're doing in the midst of your people. We thank you for what you're doing here at this church, in this community. God, we honor you and thank you this Christmas season. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Learn the lessons from the wise men. We're not certain about many things about these wise men as we know in the Bible. We know that they was said there was three gifts. We don't know how many wise men they was. They could have been more than three. We don't know that. Nowhere in the Bible tells us they were just three. A lot of postcards and songs that we sing about the three wise men. We don't know exactly how many people they was, how many men they was. Also, you know, we don't know exactly where they come from, except they come from the east. Well, from the east, we know that's the modern-day Iraq at this time, or the old Babylon where Daniel was at, from the east, and also the star. The star, what type of star was it? Was it a little star? Was it symbolic of star? I really do believe it was the kind of glory of God that shined the way for them. We don't know exactly how many gifts they really brought. In the Bible, it tells us there was three, this gold, frankincense, and also myrrh, but there could have been more. There's a lot of things we just do not know about the wise men and the gifts that they brought. But I'd like to bring your attention to things that we do know about the wise men. To start with, if you're going to give the gift to Jesus Christ that he deserves this year, you may understand to know that these wise men, they sought out Jesus Christ to worship him. And they were indeed wise men. If you here this day and you seeking out Jesus Christ to worship him, you are indeed a wise person this day to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, it was not easy for them to worship him. I mean, it's easy for us to worship today, but it was not easy for them to worship him. To start with, there was a barrier there of distance. We don't know how far they traveled at that time, but there was a barrier of distance at that time. You know, used to be singing an old song, "We all go to church when the wagon was new." I don't know if y'all sing that or not, Robert, but we all go to church when the wagon was new. You know, used to in this community, there was a barrier there also of distance. You didn't have to live very far from the church, and there was still a barrier of distance because of the transportation they did not have even here in this country. A lot of people would get together, and they would get together on their mules and their wagons and their buggies or whatever they had, and they would gather up their families, and they would go to church. The barriers of distance, the wise men, it said they were from the east, a great distance. So we don't know how far that was. You remember now Jesus Christ had been born. Now he's probably about 2 years old whenever they brought the gifts around that area. Do not know. But at that time, we know that they maybe traveled for many hundreds of miles, maybe 300 miles. About 300 miles, we know, from old Babylon. They could have traveled a great distance. We really don't know. But there was a barrier there of distance. They had to travel at great distance to get to a place so they may worship Jesus Christ. And then there was a barrier there of difficulties. It was not easy for them to come and to worship Jesus Christ. Now, you know, today they did not have the cars that we have today. They did not have the planes or the motel to stay in. They didn't have the restaurants or the superhighways. I'll bring your attention again to the country that you and I are living in. And not very long ago, we did not have the transportation. We did not have the great things in our homes we have today to get ready to come to church. I mean, there was no running water. Just a few years ago in this country, there was no running water in a lot of homes. I mean, it was difficult to be able to get your family and bring them to the house of God. A lot of times I think about some ladies, they have more than one child, may have two, may have three, and sometimes it's hard to get them to everybody ready to come to church. Well, I got so many kids, I can't get them ready. Maybe just two, and they can't make it to church, and they can't make it to Sunday school. Well, all the things we have in our homes today, can you imagine now just a few years ago that they got those little ones with no running water, no hot water, and they would wrap up those little ones here in this country, right here in this community, right here in this county, And they would get their little ones together in wagons, wrap them up in cold weather, and they would come and worship God. Ain't that amazing? Ain't it amazing today? It's amazing to me when people can't come to the house of God for barriers that they call their inconvenience today. But they see these wise men, they had the great gift for Jesus Christ, and although they had the barriers of distance and the barriers there of difficulty, they came anyway. But you see, they also had the barriers of a danger. They had to meet face to face this old King Herod. Now, he was a very cruel man. He had killed part of his family. I mean, he was a very, very cruel man. Now, think about anybody who ordered the death of a little child, 2 years old and under, and so many of them. Now, think about he was a very, very evil man. They had to face him. There was danger in coming. You see, you don't have to have danger for you to come to church, except danger may be on the highways. Oh, around the world today, you see, whenever there's people right now that's worshiping Jesus around the world, as we talk about this Lottie Moon, we talk about this offering, about the foreign missions, and the people around this world, you know what? They had to hide to be able to worship Jesus Christ. I mean, they had to go in holes, and they had to go in houses, and they had to hide to worship Jesus Christ. They're in danger. We're not in no danger there, here today. But they had to face the danger. Why did you come today? Did you come today to honor Jesus Christ? I hope that you come to honor Jesus Christ and to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll have to call your attention again to the attitude that we have in our country. And I see in it dying before my very face this day. I see in our country dying. Why? And the one of the greatest reasons it's dying, because the people of God have this attitude that they just don't really care. Our country is dying before our very face because we have put away God in our lives today. And we have this attitude, you know, today, attitude of worshiping Jesus Christ, that we can take it or we can leave it. It really don't matter. We can come to church and worship Jesus Christ, or we can just stay home, and it just don't really matter. And I'm talking to the Christian people today, and that's where our country's at today. It just don't really matter to most people today. The biggest cult that we have in our country today, as you might not know, I'm going to tell you, the biggest cult that we have in our country today is the cult of comfort. Comfort. We don't want to be out of our comfort zone to be able to get up and come to church. I want to tell you, it is a great privilege. Do you understand this? For you to be here this day. It is a great privilege to me, not just to preach the Word of God, it is a great privilege, but just to come around God's people and worship Jesus Christ and bring His name out before the world today. What Christ has done for you. We sung that song, God is so good. We sung that song, He's so good to me. Is He good to you? Do you love Jesus? I love Him so. I'll tell you what Christ has done for you, it's a privilege for me to stand and say, God is my Savior, and how He have loved me and died for me on the cross of Calvary today. I want to give Him all the honor and glory He deserves today. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be here. Thank God, Jesus Christ, that I'm here today. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of worshiping Him today. We still have the freedom, and I don't know how much longer it's going to be in this country for this freedom will be tucked away from us, but as we're going the way we're going, this freedom will be tucked away from us. We will not have the freedom in this country that we've had many, many years in this country. The wise men, they sought the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of the distance, in spite of the danger, in spite of the difficulties, they come to worship Jesus Christ. And I know what it is. I've seen people. I've been on a mission in Mexico several times, and I would like to go back. Whenever they announce that they're going to have a preaching service in a little village, and they're going to be somebody preaching the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they get the Word out, and those people don't have cars, and they walk for a long ways. Sometimes the day before, and they walk, and they stay and spend a night with somebody, maybe on the street, to hear the Word of God. I mean, they have great difficulties to come. Why? Because they come to worship Jesus Christ. They brought unto Him as they come to Jesus Christ. Watch, if you brought the day, you have brought the right gift. If you look what it says in the Word of God, these three different types of gifts, this gold and this frankincense and this myrrh. Now, the Holy Spirit of God penned the whole Bible. I know that He used mankind, but you know the author of this Word of God is the Holy Spirit of God. He penned this Bible, and He made room in this Bible for these three gifts to be announced. There must be something to it if the Holy Spirit of God penned this, these three great gifts. You know, the Word of God is great, but you see, if He'd have put everything in here, that everything that man needed would have been a Word of God, it'd been a book so big that you could not pick it up. But He chose very definite things that we need, and this is one thing that we need, and it wasn't no by happenstance that these three words in here. My gift and your gift must be like the gifts of the wise men. And what these three gifts represents today. It's sad to me a little bit as I look upon this and see that Jesus Christ is not getting these gifts today. He's not getting the gift from the world. He's certainly not getting the gift from the people it's called Christians today. It's a little bit of sad that I don't even give Jesus Christ the gift that I should give him. Well, what do these three gifts represent? Well, it says go. Whenever they met Jesus and looked upon his eyes, he said they opened up his treasure there in verse 11 and presented him gifts. And this is one of the things they give him, gold. Now, they recognize gold. What is gold for? Gold is recognized as sovereign domain. That means that gold is a gift, you know, that presented to a king. When they saw this little baby, they recognized that he was a king, that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day, that Jesus Christ is king. He deserves the gold. He deserves that would be presented to a king today. Gold is a symbol of royalty. And they looked upon this little one, and they broke gold out of their treasure chest, and they recognized here is a king. And today, I'll tell you, the gift that you need to give Jesus Christ is to recognize that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has dominion, sovereign dominion over the world. He has sovereign dominion over your life this hour. He has sovereign dominion over everything that you have in your life. Your life do not belong to you. It belongs to him. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you. He bought your life today. He has sovereign dominion. He has King of Kings and of Lord of Lords here this day. The royalty, say it to a king. We recognize his sovereign domain today. Do you recognize Jesus Christ? You don't have anything today. It's yours. Everything that you have is just been loaned to you. Do you recognize this? When these wise men saw that baby Jesus Christ, they had already knew that he was a king. Today, do you realize this baby that's going to be born, is going to be king of your life? He is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Isaiah 9:7 says that he was King of Kings. It also says there in verse 6 of Isaiah, for out of thee shall come a governor that thou shalt rule my people. He was going to be a king. God said he's going to be a king of all Israel today. It says there in verse 2 of the verses that I read, it says, where is he that is born king of the Jew? Here today, is he king of your life today? If you present Jesus Christ the gift that he deserves and he honors, you will understand one thing. He is king of your life. He is Lord of your life. He has dominion over your life. If you give him the gift that he deserves today, and that's what that gold represents, you must give him what he deserves today. Give him the gold. It represents his sovereignty over your life today. The dominion he has today. He gave himself for you today. In John 3:16, as we know that beautiful verse of scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He is giving this to you to realize that he is king of your life. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords here this day. It also says in Ephesians, Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. Not only that, Galatians 2:20 also says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If that king would be willing to do that for me, if that king is willing to do that for you, to give himself for you today, listen, our love for Jesus Christ will express in the way that we were willing to serve him and willing to give ourselves to him. If you love Jesus Christ today, God knows exactly who's in here and who loves him and who do not love him. If you love him as you say that we love him today, it will express the way that we give ourselves to him if we love him today. It's not yourself, it's his self, what he done for you today. Acts 2:36, you say, have I, you made him Lord? You don't make him Lord of your life. Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus who you have crucified both Lord and Christ. It said that God has made him Lord. People don't make him Lord. You will not make him Lord of your life today. You will acknowledge and accept that he is Lord, but you don't make Jesus Christ anything. He's already Lord of Lords and King of Kings. God made him Lord today, and you will not make him anything. You will accept it today. If you're going to bring this gift to Jesus Christ that he deserves, if you recognize his sovereign domain over your life and give him the gift he deserves, He gave him the gift of a king that you might bow down and worship him. I am content to let anyone who's willing enough to die on the cross for my life, I'm willing to let that person run my life and also run my life. He can run my life anytime he wants to. He can rule my life because he died for me. And I'm willing to anybody, are you today, knowing that he died for you, wouldn't you let him rule your life today? Wouldn't you let him be king of your life today? He loved you enough to die on the cross for you today. The sovereign king today is a king over your life today. He will run your life if you will let him, and it'll be the happiest life that you have ever lived. Not only that, we have this frankincense. Well, what this frankincense? You know, they recognized, these three wise men, that it was a sinless deity, Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus Christ was born into this world, he did not lay aside his deity. He did not lay aside his godly form. He was still God. Did y'all realize that? He was God in the human flesh. He did not lay it aside. His deity was still there. Sometimes his deity come out. His deity was wrapped and robed in the, what we call human flesh, but he still had his deity. That's what this frankincense is. They recognized his sinless deity. Of Jesus Christ. You know what it says there in Exodus? The Lord told Moses to take the sweet spices. It says pure frankincense. It says because it is most holy. Now this frankincense was a sweet smelling favorite. And it was made there that they might be able to put it in the offering and burn it. And it was sent up to the Lord. As you know, the tabernacle in the temple and this golden altar. As you go by the brazing altar into the holies of holies. And you go into the holy place and there was a golden altar. And that's where the prayers of the saints. And that's where the incense was laced that the priest would put it there. And they would burn the coals. And it would just lift up and just smell up and fill up the whole room. And it was sweet smelling flavor to the Lord. And that's why there's all about this frankincense. Recognize that Jesus Christ, his body, recognize that Jesus Christ, his deity there, this incense, represents the work of a priest. He was a priest while here on this earth, Jesus Christ. He was a priest and a prophet. Only one ever used all of these offices, king, priest, and prophet. Jesus Christ came to represent us to God the Father. And that's what it is. This incense represents the work of a priest into the presence of God. Where is Jesus Christ at today? He's at the presence of God, his deity. He never ceased to have this deity. You need to give him some sweet smelling flavor today, the incense. God, this favor of heaven. All while Jesus Christ walked on this earth, he had the sweet smell of heaven all about him. Jesus Christ, he said a lot of words while on this earth, but he never apologized. Did y'all know that? Because he never said anything wrong. Did you know Jesus Christ did never have any strong points? He never had no strong points because he never had no weak points. He was perfectly balanced. What a Savior, what a man that Jesus Christ was. Oh, the flavor of Jesus on your life, on my life. I don't know if anybody's ever worked in a florist, but I have an idea. If you worked around flowers all day long, what would you probably smell like? I know some of you men probably have worked in a tobacco warehouse. You know what? If you work in a backer warehouse, some of y'all don't know what it is, you're young kid. But if you work in a backer warehouse, guess what you'll smell like when you get back home? But I tell you, if you work around Jesus Christ and be around Jesus Christ, guess what you're going to smell like? All he says is frankincense, recognizing, you know, his sinless deity. Jesus Christ was still God. 100% God and 100% man. Do you understand that? I do not understand that. If I don't have to understand it to accept it and to believe it. There's a lot of things in this life that I don't understand, but I believe. I believe. And then we have this myrrh. Myrrh now recognized his sacrificial death. Myrrh. That was the third thing they brought. Now, you see, Jesus Christ was born to die. Did y'all know that? He was born to die on the cross of the cruel Calvary. In Mark chapter 15, 22 and 23, it says, and they bring him to a place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. But he received it not. Now myrrh, as you think about this, it was a dulling pain. It was a narcotic. It was a dulling pain that they brought him myrrh. And he would not drink this. Now think about this now when the wise men brought this gift. They brought it whenever he was a baby, a child. As you think about this, because myrrh represents his death. Now, ladies, the next time that you go to a baby shower, Just get you a funeral wreath and carry it and give it to that mother for that baby shower. What would she think? What would she think if you give that mother a funeral wreath? Well, that's exactly what this wise man was giving this baby. It represents death, myrrh. Jesus Christ, whenever he died on the cross of Calvary, do you remember Joseph of Arimathea, that secret disciple, and Nicodemus? They said, you must be born again. You see, they went and they begged for the body of Jesus Christ. They took the body back off the cross, and they brought it, and they mixed a mixture of alum and myrrh, about a 100-pound weight, myrrh, an embalming part. That shows, you know, the sovereignty, gold, the sovereignty, dominion. Frankincense, the sacred of his deity. They understood that. And then you see this myrrh, his sacrificial death that he died for us. Now, would you understand in the Bible that we really have no record of the early church ever celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? There is no evidence in the epistle stage of the early church never celebrating the birth of Jesus. I know that kind of sounds strange to you. They was never told to remember Jesus Christ's birth. They was told to remember his what? His death. I believe we need to honor Jesus Christ. It's recorded in the Bible. We need to honor Jesus Christ's birth. But it's something very more important than just the birth. Because you're not saved because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Although without the virgin birth, there would be no salvation. But it was not his birth. It was not his life that saves people. It's his death. The payment of sin on the cross of Calvary. Not his good life. You can't live by Jesus Christ's good life examples. No one's never saved by keeping the example of Jesus Christ. Salvation by the blood of the cross of Calvary. Shed his blood to pay for our sins. As I look around this Christmas season, the more carnal a Christian is, the more they'll make over the birth of Jesus Christ and less over the death of Jesus Christ. It's his death that we need to remember. We're not against remembering his birth, because if he had not have been born in this world, he would not have died. We need to remember this. But I want to tell you, his death is so very, very important. The Bible records his death. The wise men at his birth, and they remembered that one day when they give him this myrrh, what they were saying, I realize that one day you're going to be king. I realize that you're a sinless deity, and I realize one of the days there's going to be a sacrificial death in these three gifts that they give Jesus Christ. Now, it's a clever way a lot of time for the devil to substitute the birth of Jesus Christ and make so much out of the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, this day we make so little out of the death of Jesus Christ. You see, on this table it says, remember me. We have communions here to remember the death of Jesus Christ, his broken body and his shed blood to remember. Very, very important, because we forget it. His sovereign dominion, deny. I give him my wealth. I give to him. Everything I have belongs to Jesus Christ, because I recognize him as sovereign dominion over my life. His sinless deity, I give him my worship. He is God Almighty. He is the Son of God. He is God Almighty. But then the sacrificial death, I give to him my witness that he died for me and he died for this whole world. I give him this gift this day. A missionary, we talk about mission, make me think about this missionary to the Indians. And this man, he preached, this missionary preached to the Indians, and this Indian chief was moved by the gospel when he told him about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and he died for the Indians. He died for you, chief. And the chief was very moved by the gospel. After service over, the chief went back and got his favorite bow and arrow, and he brought it to the missionary and says, I want to give this to Jesus Christ. And the missionary says, Jesus Christ don't want your bow and arrow. The chief was puzzled about not taking this and presenting this to Jesus Christ. So he went back and he got his favorite blanket and he brought it to the missionary. He says, I want to give my favorite blanket to Jesus Christ. The missionary says, no, Jesus Christ don't want your favorite blanket. The old chief was puzzled, but he went back and searched his heart and he brought back his favorite pony to the missionary. He says, I want to give my favorite pony to Jesus. And the missionary shook his head and said, Jesus Christ do not want your favorite pony. It really puzzled the chief. He had thought he'd give everything he had. He says, well, I'll give myself to Jesus Christ. And the missionary, that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants. He wants you. Now, the greatest gift that you can understand here this day is he wants you. It's not about your substance, because if he gets you, he'll have everything else. Do you realize today that you want to give Jesus Christ a great gift? And the honest gift that you can give him that he will accept is you realize that he's sovereign, that he is God. You realize his sinless nature is deity. He never sinned, could not have sinned, because he was God. But you realize that he sacrificed his life on Calvary's cross, that he didn't have to. If you recognize these three things, and if you give him that gold and that frankincense and that myrrh, that's the gift that Jesus Christ will accept. Now, he will not accept any other gift. But if you want to bring the right gift to the right person, you'll bring yourself down this aisle and you present yourself to Jesus Christ. Throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord, what he's done for you on Calvary's cross, and accept that by faith that he saved your body, he saved your soul, and he saved your spirit. And one day there'll be body, soul, and spirit that he'll make over again. This day has become the song of invitation. I hope that you have prepared your gift before you got here this morning. I hope this prepared your heart that you're willing to give the gift to Jesus Christ. Oh, this gift is a great gift. It's the greatest gift that you might be able to give to Jesus Christ, and that's yourself. To recognize, if you recognize these three gifts as the wise men did, you'll be down this aisle and you'll be willing to say, hey, Jesus Christ, I want to give myself to you. How do I do this? Perfectly easy. Just acknowledge that you are a sinner and you need to be saved. Recognize that Jesus Christ have all power in heaven and earth. He paid a price for you. You could not pay it for yourself. But you got to say, Jesus Christ, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to repent of my sins. I want you to come into my heart and I want you to save me. And whenever you do, you be giving him all three of these gifts, because he will be your Lord. This hour, would you stand, please?